All right, if everyone would, if you would turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning at verse 25 and going through chapter 5, verse 2. So Amber knows he's going to need some help. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, and all the way through 5, verse 2. This is the second part in a three-part series of Don't Let Satan Get a Foothold. Don't Let Satan Get a Foothold? I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 25. And we'll go through chapter 5, verse 2. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I think I failed to mention a while ago, I think we had everybody in the choir today, and then I realized we were missing one person, right? Carol. And but I think we're missing one other person. That's one of you, to join the choir. So we want to encourage you to come and join the choir on Wednesday evenings as we practice for the Christmas cantata. That doesn't seem so far away now that we're about in September. Next week is September 1st. Don't Let Satan Get a Foothold is the title of this sermon series. And last 2 weeks ago, we talked about procrastination, because it is implied in this scripture that to be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, it's not saying do that 5 days from now, do that 6 months from now, or 5 years, or 20 years from now. The implication of this is be now imitators of, to reflect the image and likeness of God today, not tomorrow. Today is the emphasis, you see. And today I want to talk about that very first part. Do not let any therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So, some things intrigue me and some things don't. Have you ever seen goats on a roof? Raise your hand if you've seen goats on a roof. Okay, that doesn't intrigue me at all. But my family always wants me to stop to see goats on a roof. It just seems strange that they're goats on a roof, right? No, what really intrigues me, though, is when you see goats or sheep that are on the side of a mountain cliff. And there's just a little piece where they can kind of put their hoof in and hold on, but they move around on that cliff. They can jump from place to place like it was nothing. That kind of intrigues me. I mean, it amazes me that they can do such a thing with just the tiniest of footholds. And they all do that even on, dam works that are, built to hold the water back. Yeah, don't laugh. I'm sorry. That are held to hold the water back, and they'll be moving from place to place with just a little bit of something for their hoof to grab a hold of. That kind of amazes me. That kind of intrigues me that they are able to do something. It would seem that it would be impossible just to look at it. That seems impossible. They don't have fingers to grab a hold of. They don't have ropes holding them or anything like that. It just seems impossible. When we talk about the character of God, we say in God, there is no lie. L-I-E. God is not a liar. God is a truth speaker by action, word, and deed. That is not impossible. But if we reflect on ourselves, we think it to be impossible. For as we read through this part of Scripture, every one of us would have to raise our hand and go, I'm guilty of bearing falsehood. I'm guilty of my mouth saying things it should not. I'm guilty of letting my anger get the better of me. We probably could look at everything that was said here and we can say, yes, I'm guilty. But our reflection isn't a direct reflection on who God is and God's character. God is not a liar, ever. And all the prophecies that are presented in Scripture that come from God, every one has come to fruition. We are still waiting on one specific when God will come again in final glory. But with all the others that have come to fruition, it does not give us cause or understanding to believe that he will fail in this one, that God will be truthful in everything, that God does not lie even in the smallest of things. P.T. Barnum, who was told by his grandfather and given some land, and he thought, and he was told by his father growing up that he would be given this land and it would kind of, they were very poor and that this would somehow raise his stature in the world and in the community. But he didn't know where this land was. It was far off. And the father said, you can receive this land when you become an adult. And so he waited, but he shared all along how he was going to receive this land and so on and so forth. And P.T. Barnum was just excited that he was going to receive this land and what he was going to do with it. And in his mind, the dreams, all about it. And finally, one day, the father relented and said, we're going to go on a journey and we're going to see this land. And when they got there, after days' journey, and they came over the crest of the hill and said, your land is on the other side. All it was like a swamp of boggy land, useless, worthless. All this time he had been lifted up into believing that he was going to be an owner of land and the stature and status that would give him and the possibilities that he would have. And then his father just laughed at him. Yes. Just laughed at him. Thought it was funny. Thought it was a joke. And this is where P.T. Barnum realized, hey, I was a real sucker. And he coined the phrase, there's a sucker born every minute. And he lived his life according to that. There's a sucker born every minute. Christians, you are not suckers. You have been given the promise of God. You have been given the grace of the Almighty. And you have been given His mercy, and He has promised you everlasting life. He has promised you joy and peace and love where there is no evil of any kind. That's good news, isn't it? This is the truthfulness of God Almighty who has said it, not in some kind of part-time way, but the truthfulness of God now and forever. There is no lie in God. If there was just a little bit of lie in God, then we could not trust His grace, that we could not trust His promise, that we could not say that, hey, for those who've gone before us, that we will one day see them again. We couldn't trust any of that, could we? But there is no lie in God. His word is truth. And I know that that is not what the world wants to hear today. The world wants to live in everybody's little truths. But there is no guarantee in everybody's little truths. Because we who are God's children and everybody who's been created by God, we have fallen short, but God has not. Falsehood is not of God. This is where some people will claim, by looking at you and me and saying the truth of the Scripture in God to be wrong, because the servants of God, the pastor, the laity, the lay leaders, the people who proclaim Christianity, they live a falsehood example. And we're all guilty of that, aren't we? But there's a difference between those who say that they are Christian and never confess their sin and those who are Christian and are constantly on bended knee before God, spiritually on bended knee. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of those things that I know I've done. Forgive me of those things that I don't even realize, but fall short. Our witness does matter, but we should always point to Jesus. Don't follow me. Don't follow someone else in the pew. Don't follow somebody that is like Franklin Graham or Billy Graham or Mother Teresa. Don't follow them. We follow the one who is always truthful, Jesus. Everybody else falls short. But it is God who saves us. We cannot promise. We cannot save. We can only act and point to the one who promises and to the one who truly does save. And let me just add this here as well. We trust that God is the one who saves, right? So we believe that God transforms lives, changes lives, has changed us. It may happen over a slow process of time. It may be instantaneous, but we're still working at being more and more like the image and likeness of God and His righteousness. But part of our witness, part of our speaking to truth and speaking to God and God's holy truth is that we are willing to accept people's transformation. And I'll share a little bit more on that in a moment. You and I are ambassadors. We serve as ambassadors of God. An ambassador of the United States serves the president, right? And serve the people and Congress. And they're supposed to speak to the same priorities and policies that are given to them and not something contrary to that. And the same is for us, that our character and our words should therefore reflect the policies, not really policies, but the law and grace and character of God, our King. We cannot part ourselves from this. But in doing so, we are always pointing to Christ. I've been watching a TV series on Marco Polo. And in it, Kublai Khan is the leader of the Mongol Empire that goes on to rule over all of China. But there's one thing that he says, and I think it reflects other kings of that era and after, that whenever someone cheats or steals or lies, especially toward the Khan himself, their punishment is not a slap on the wrist. Their punishment is severe. Their punishment is is very grave. A chopping of someone's hand off, of branding them, or worse, injury to their family or to their livelihood, or even worse, death itself, and horrific death, painful death. Because it would seem, they would think, the Khan would think that based on the betrayal, even if it were one lie, it is believed that they had done so multiple times, that they had cheated and scammed multiple times, and so that there was no mercy in it. We have mercy and grace with God, don't we? You and I, when we have failed in our walk to follow perfectly the image and likeness of God, we have grace and mercy. All we do is repent. I say all we do. It's significant what we do. To repent before God. A random stranger was given $100,000 to watch. It was kind of a reality TV show that lasted just a few shows itself. I think I only watched one years ago. And they were given a briefcase and they were told in this busy area that the person had to go to the bathroom, could they watch this case? It was filled with $100,000. in it. And so the person said, okay, I'll watch. And so they sat and waited and waited. Now, I would have thought, is there a bomb in there? Is somebody going to come up and kill me because they might be chasing this person? All of these things would have come up to my mind. But how many of us would then entrust somebody with $100,000? Some of you are going, I wish I had $100,000. Me too. You know, how many of us would entrust somebody with our life savings? How about how many of you would entrust a thief, a known thief, with your life savings? Jesus, God entrusted Jesus to us, his whole being, to us to choose him or not choose him. And he asked us to serve him and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, whether they receive it or not. To entrust this gift to others. See, God has given it to everyone. And if God has given it to everyone, this prized, entrusted gift, then we should believe that there are those who can be and are transformed daily. I believe we gave $1,200+ to the Gideons last week. Am I right, Priscilla? Was it around that? Or no, I think it was even more than that. 1,700. That, folks, that purchased, I try to calculate right, about 900 to 1,000 Bibles. If 1% of those Bibles that are placed, maybe in a college student's hand, maybe in a prison, maybe in a hospital, maybe through a vacation Bible school, maybe somewhere around the world where there's not even a Bible. If just 1%, think of the lives that are transformed of a person who has no faith, of giving their lives totally over to God. We believe that people's lives are transformed by God because we have been transformed. And we seek to share that God is no liar, and we seek to show in our own lives the transformation that takes place, a growing transformation that takes place, so that we each and every day reflect more and more the image and likeness of God. Folks, we must believe that those who have given their lives over to God, that we trust them as born again believers, cleansed by the holy word of God, and are forever saints to be in heaven. And we need to give them the same love and care and trust that God has given as well. I have to write things down a lot. I have to put things in my calendar on my phone because it's just who I am. I will forget. It's been a problem I've had all my life. It doesn't mean I don't care. It's just I know I forget. How many of you have forgotten something you've promised to do? Anybody here? You didn't mean anything by it. You just simply forgot, right? There might be some who you promised and you knew it and you just didn't go through on it. That's forgivable too. But I know that I have this problem where I can forget things. I could say something 5 minutes ago, and then I can forget that I have made that promise. It's not that I don't care. So I write things down. This is why I ask you to write prayer concerns down. Or if there's something that you need to share with me that's important, to write it down. Because, hey, I'll go on the dinner trip with the folks, and by the time I get back, it may be Tuesday or Wednesday, and that I'll remember it. You know, I've written Bernita surgery on a board in my office so that I know when it's happening. I've placed it in my phone as a reminder so I know when it's happening, so I can be in prayer and show compassion and love. And so that's my way of addressing something, of trying to not have falsehood in my life, and to speak truthfully to my neighbor, because I know I need to write things down. Maybe some of you are that way. What are some things that you can do that can ensure that you uphold speaking truthfully to one another in business dealings and so on and so forth? A person doesn't stay in business long, do they? If they make promises and constantly fail in those promises, what happens? People quit using them, don't they? Quit going to them. Well, you didn't show up when I wanted you to. Or you didn't follow through on this. Or you changed the price on this and so forth. It goes away. Therefore, we need to work at making sure that our word is our word, and that we point to Christ Jesus, and that following through is important in life and in business. You know what the biggest lie is? The biggest lie in the world is this: saying in our heart, we are not children of the Most High God in Christ Jesus. That's the biggest lie. You know why it's the biggest lie? Because God created you. God breathed His Spirit into you. He made you all to be His children. Those inside this building and those outside through every region of this world. He has made you to be His children. He has made you to follow Him. He has made you to enter into a kingdom that is forever and ever and filled with joy and peace and love. Where there are no wars, where there is no hunger, where there is no starvation, where there is no abuse of any kind. We proclaim the truthfulness of God by claiming that we are indeed His children. God didn't die on the cross for the oceans or the plants or even the animals. He died for His children. He died for you. And He rose from the grave for you. And He will come again in glory, not for the oceans and not for the plants and not for the ground on which we stand. He will come again for His children, for you. And praise be to God, He has called you and me, all of us, here within my voice, to be truth bearers for Him. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, let us not let Satan get a foothold in our lives, and let us believe that we are not indeed the children of God. Let us remember that You have come to die for us and to and to come again. Victory over sin and death, that we might be Your forever children. Heavenly Father, I pray Your blessing on Your people gathered here this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.